Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 271. And this week's title is The Myth of Nonverbal Communication. The Myth of Nonverbal Communication. Now, there's an oft-repeated claim out there on the internet and everywhere, books and all kinds of places, that communication is only actually 7% verbal. Only 7% about the word you actually use, and the rest of it, 93%, 38% is vocal, the way you use your voice, and 55% facial, or basically body language. Is that actually true? I mean, these statistics come from two studies conducted in 1967, and their conclusions have been accepted as orthodoxy, but there are some serious methodological limitations to those studies that have come to light more recently, certainly come to my attention more recently. And although I've been generally a defender of the significance of our body language and the way we use our voice, and I wouldn't deny that's important, I have come to reconsider how significant it is, if you like, the balance between the words we use and the body language. Now, I read, or more accurately skimmed, an article by David Lapacco, a paper actually. I hope I'm saying your name right, David. He wrote a paper called Communication is 93% Nonverbal and Urban Legend Proliferates. Now, David is an associate professor at the Department of Communication Studies at Augsburg College in Minneapolis. And he says this, let me give you one quote. What that number tells people is to pay little attention to the words they use because words don't really matter. So if my communication only depends 7% on the words used, why bother even thinking that much about the words used? Why spend so much time in preparing, in writing a script, or writing out a lesson, or writing out an outline, and thinking carefully about perhaps the words in the introduction, or titles of points, or the actual lesson itself, or what I precisely might say in the conclusion and wrapping up? Why spend so much time on it? Why not spend 93% on all the other stuff if only 7% is about the words themselves? Is that really true? Now, he would question that. If you want to read the rest of his paper, I've put a link in the show notes. So go and have a look at that. But what he's contesting is saying, no, words really do matter. I wouldn't say that body language doesn't matter. I've recorded on that elsewhere. I do believe that the way we use our body, the way we use our voice is highly significant. But is it the case that the words only count for 7%? What do you remember of the body language of Martin Luther King when he said, I have a dream? Do you remember the body language? Did that really matter that much? Or is it more the inspiring nature of his speech? Certainly the occasion played a part. Certainly he had some body language that some of us may remember from photographs we've seen, if we weren't there, and most of us weren't, of course, a long time ago. But I have a dream is what we remember. Or Churchill. Churchill's we will fight them on the beaches speech and similar speeches. I dare say his body language had some significance. Certainly his delivery had some significance, but the words really mattered, didn't they? Those speeches, the way he used the English language, as somebody, an opposition politician said, he mobilized the English language and sent it to battle or sent it into war, made a huge difference. Or think about famous plays like Shakespeare's Hamlet. Does it really matter that much, the body language, as to whether we remember the phrases like to be or not to be? We remember them because they mean something significant. Or what about Jesus himself when he said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven? I'm not suggesting his body language is insignificant at the time, but I don't think the reason Matthew wrote those words down or Luke wrote those words down was because of the body language or even the tone of the voice. I suggest it was because of the significance, the import of the words. So body language and vocal inflection play a part. There's no doubt about that. And if that's a weakness of yours, we'll work on it. But to say that the words themselves are only 7% of the communication is what is an unsubstantiated claim at best in terms of studies. But it also doesn't ring true, does it, to our own personal experience. So let me offer two thoughts about body language and words, and then we'll wrap up for today, making it a relatively short one. Firstly, body language. I think the most significant thing about body language is, firstly, to remove distractions from your body language. So if you're always blinking all the time when you're speaking, or you're always hitching up your collar all the time, or if you're someone wearing a jewelry, perhaps a woman wearing jewelry, you're always touching your jewelry or fiddling with your rings, or you're touching your ear all the time, or you're touching your nose, and these things are distractions. These nervous tics, they eventually, if people watch and listen to you long enough, they'll become a barrier to them actually hearing what you have to say. Well, how do you deal with that? Film yourself. Get someone to film you. Watch some film of yourself. Notice what you do habitually, you're not even aware of doing, and cut it out. Some little mannerisms is fine, but I'm talking about the things that really get in the way. Some people I know put their hand over their mouth quite a lot when they're speaking, and you can't hear what they're saying. Some people never look up. They're always looking down at their notes. There's a lot of different ways, and I'm sure I have my physical tics that I might not even be aware of, and you're welcome to point them out to me in the show notes or the comments underneath. But that's the first thing. Get rid of the distractions in your body language. And the second thing I would say on a positive level is connect with your audience. Look up from your notes or from your Bible. Look up. Look around, not only at one person or one part of the room. There's so many people, even still today, who've been speaking a while, who speak to the left side of the room exclusively. And I'm sitting over here on the right, thinking, are you talking to me as well? Or they speak to everybody in the gallery, or sometimes everybody in the ceiling. Not that there is anybody there, but that's where their eyes are, or everybody on the floor. We need to look up and we need to look around. Everybody that's there, make eye contact. Talk to your friends. Talk to them. Those, I think, are the two most significant things about body language. I won't deal with vocal inflections today. We'll come back to that another time. Regarding words, do you have confidence in the words of God and in your own words to be able to bring them home to people? Have confidence in God's word. I mean, as one of my favorite passages says in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, the rain and the snow come down from heaven, don't return to it without watering, making it bud and flourish so it yields seed and bread. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Let's have confidence in God's word. Read it. Read it slowly. Read it clearly. Read it with attention. Read it with affection. Read it with trust as you read it out to people. Don't just read it through so you can get to your point. The power is in the word. The strength is in the word. God's word is powerful. Have confidence in it. And the second thing I would say about words, just briefly today, is it really helps in terms of our words having impact, to choose the words in which you explain your core point carefully. Now, in every lesson, there is one main point, or certainly there should be. That core one point needs articulating. It needs to be clear. And perhaps it's one phrase that will make it clear what your main one point is. So choosing those words carefully really matters. And then speaking them with conviction. People may remember only that one phrase, but if it is the core point of your lesson and it fits with obviously what you're teaching from God's word, then if they remember that one thing, won't that be enough? I would suggest that it would. I recently did a sermon called Thirsty from John chapter 4. And I don't often write things out word for word, but I did write this out in part in my conclusion. I said something like, Jesus became thirsty, talking about him. He was on the cross. I am thirsty. Contrasting that, or comparing that with John 4, and he's thirsty at the well. Jesus became thirsty because he was thirsty for our freedom from thirst. You could phrase that a lot of different ways. But Jesus became thirsty because he was thirsty for our freedom from thirst. That's our spiritual thirst. I think people will remember that. In fact, I do know people did because they told me. And it's not that that's supposed to be clever, but it's more that it encapsulates what I want to try and say. We don't have to be thirsty. Jesus willingly, he's our inspiration. He became thirsty so we wouldn't have to be thirsty. Isn't that amazing about Jesus and what a promise that we have? And that has to be fleshed out. That was the lesson, but that was the core point. So just a few thoughts on that today. In terms of body language, deal with your distractions and connect with your audience. In terms of the words, have confidence in God's word and choose your words carefully for your main point. I believe in that sense, then there is a blend, isn't there, of the words and the vocal inflection and the body language. They all matter, but our words matter much more than 7%. Goodness me, of course they do. What do you think? What do you think helps words sink in? When you've got someone listening to you, what helps your words, God's word and your word, sink in? Or when you're listening, what do you find other people do when they're speaking that helps you to pay attention to what they're saying and remember what they're saying? I'd be interested. So drop me a line. You can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org, or you can leave a note on the website, malcolmcox.org, and let us know what you think. Please post your comments where we can all see them in the comment box, because we learn best when we're learning in community. If you've got any questions about the Bible, you'd like me to post on something, then drop me a line. If you'd like a copy of my free ebook on spiritual disciplines, then sign up for my newsletter at the website. And if you know anybody that might benefit from this recording, do please pass the link on, subscribe, hit the notification button, leave a review if you wish. And I do hope that between now and the next time that you'll find that your words, God's word working through you, and the words you hear too, that there's impact from those words, perhaps further than you might imagine. Well, until the next time, Keep calm and carry on teaching. Take care and God bless.